You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. A pocket of Arctic air rolled down over Canada and the Midwest this past week and brought record cold temperatures, as low as the minus 50s. Makes me cold just to say it. Schools were closed, mail delivery was suspended, and several deaths were linked to the cold. President Trump quipped on Twitter that he wanted global warming to, quote, come back fast, suggesting, as he has many times before, that the cold weather proves climate change isn't happening. But that's far from the truth. In fact, this extreme cold may be directly linked to extreme warming in the Arctic. Jennifer Francis was one of the first scientists to connect the dots between Arctic warming and winter weather here in the mid-latitudes. She's a senior scientist at Woods Hole Research Center. Jennifer, always good to talk with you. I understand you're enjoying the boating life in Florida right now.
Yes, we're very fortunate to be not experiencing this attack of the polar vortex in person.
Well, I think, it's worth noting while those of us, at least in the upper half of the United States, are obsessing about the cold temperatures that have hit, Australia is in the midst of a record-setting heat wave. And in fact, the Berkeley Earth Research Group released their analysis that 2018 was the fourth warmest year on record. The three above it were 2016, 2015, and 2017. I mean, the last 4 years have been the four warmest years on record. It seems pretty clear that climate change is happening.
Exactly. If you look at a global map right now of temperature differences from normal, you'll see that there are many more places that are warmer than normal than the ones that are colder than normal. The only two real areas that are cold are the center of North America and the northern part of Central Eurasia. So anybody who says that this cold is somehow disproving global warming just hasn't bothered to look at what is going on elsewhere.
And yet every time we see an outbreak of extreme cold, we do hear that argument from someone that this disproves climate change. So how do you reconcile extreme cold, in some cases record-setting cold, with in certain locales with this global warming trend?
Well, the first thing is to make the distinction between climate and weather. And climate is the average weather conditions at any given place in a particular season. And so weather is really the day-to-day variations in the conditions that you'd experience at any one place. Sometimes people liken this to somebody's personality being like climate, but your mood can vary from day to day, and that would be kind of like what weather is. But what we're experiencing right now over the Midwest truly is an extreme case of just, you know, generational record breaking. They've in some places they truly have never seen cold quite like this. So there is some additional explanation that needs to happen. And this does, we believe, have a connection to global warming, believe it or not.
Well, Jennifer Francis, before we get into, you know, more of your research connecting the warming in the Arctic to how the polar vortex behaves, I mean, most of us here in the United States associate that phrase with these cold outbreaks during the winter, but that's not actually what the polar vortex is, in essence. Can we just step back and describe what is the polar vortex?
Sure, and I was just about to do that. So the polar vortex is often gets used incorrectly. So the true polar vortex is sitting over the North Pole, way up high in the atmosphere in a layer called the stratosphere. It's about 30 miles up. And it's a very strong belt of winds encircling the northern hemisphere. And inside that circle of wind is very cold air. The true polar vortex is only there in the wintertime. And the true polar vortex in the stratosphere tends to be very circular most of the time.
Thus the name vortex.
Yes, exactly, yes. Occasionally, something will cause it to become less circular. It can take on the shape of a dumbbell or even split into two or even three separate circulations. And when that happens, those separate smaller circulations can drift southward allowing warm air to instead invade the Arctic. And so we get this reversal. And that's exactly what's happening now. We have one of these smaller circulations of polar vortex air that has drifted down over North America, and it has reinforced the cold air at the surface with this upper level, very cold air directly from the Arctic.
I mean, if you look at recent temperature maps, it's pretty striking. I've seen a number of them where you're kind of looking down at the North Pole, and it's kind of reddish and pinkish, right? Warm temperatures at the North Pole, which first of all is not what we would expect. Mm-hmm. And then you see, you know, the frigid blues, and actually like three, just like you were describing, three circles of this cold air down over the United States and then over kind of parts of Asia on the other side of the world. But just a bizarre kind of backwardness to that, to see the North Pole actually be warmer than parts of Canada or Russia.
Exactly. And all that cold air from the Arctic is not up there where it belongs. It's invading North America and also the northern part of Eurasia.
So you mentioned that these events where the polar vortex can kind of split and start to drift, that they happen. But what causes them to happen, and what role does global warming play in making those happen, perhaps?
So they do happen naturally, for sure, just through random fluctuations in the atmosphere. The chaos of atmospheric winds and dynamics can make these things happen totally naturally. But we are seeing an increase in the frequency of these splitting up of the true polar vortex this way. It happened last year as well. Normally, we'd only expect to see them every few years. And it goes back to the very warm Arctic conditions in this area north of Western Russia, and the fact that it tends to fortify this ridge that occurs in that area. And when that ridge gets really strong, because of that extra heat that's come out of the ocean, it can generate extra wave energy in the jet stream. In the wintertime, that wave energy can transfer upwards into the stratosphere. And if enough of it gets transferred and it goes on for a long enough time, it can actually have this effect on the polar vortex to either make it misshapen, distort it, or even cause it to have one of these splits. And as I said, this is pretty new research, but the last couple of years, it seems that this is exactly what's happened. We've been able to watch this heat and this waviness in the jet stream move upward into the upper atmosphere, and the resulting splitting of the polar vortex.
I'm curious, Jennifer, we only hear about the polar vortex as it's setting, or these you know, dips in the polar vortex are about to happen, as we're about to get hit by the cold air, basically. How do these events end? Does the polar vortex somehow reassemble, or once that one vortex at the North Pole has fallen apart into these multiple different pieces, is that pretty much it for this winter?
Right. So it's a really good question as to how they end. So it's still really dark up there in the Arctic, and it's still cooling off because there's really no source of heat other than what it gets occasionally from winds coming from the south. And so the polar vortex basically reestablishes itself eventually because it's continually trying to get colder up there. And these spinning vortices that are dripping down across North America and Eurasia kind of run out of gas, if you will, and they eventually get reabsorbed into the larger scale wind circulation of the atmosphere.
Eventually, though, doesn't sound like, you know, we're out of the woods quite yet.
No, not at all. In fact, one of the interesting attributes of these, of this kind of situation, is that it does tend to create a very persistent pattern. So even though you're going to warm up after this blast of cold air for a couple of days, there's another blast coming. And it's because this spinning upper level circulation in the stratosphere is still up there. And so it wants to bring these continuing blasts of Arctic air down into the center of the country. So yeah, you're not out of the woods yet.
Jennifer Francis is a senior scientist at Woods Hole Research Center, but we reached her at the marina where she's spending some time this winter in Florida. Jennifer, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
You're very welcome anytime.